Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, March 29th, 2024. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati and Jake Gutierrez. Thank you to Stan Weber for spending an hour and a half with us. Mike McFarland will be on the show. A new grandfather, Mike McFarland. Gramps will be joining us at 9:05. But right now we have Greg Gurley to talk some college basketball with us. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
What's up, boys? How are we doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. Nate has gone through a difficult last segment, but hopefully he'll bounce back. He was struggling.
Ken Weber spent an hour and a half with you?
Yeah. Yes.
Every Friday, buddy.
Hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I okay.
Thanks for listening to the show.
I don't listen.
Right. Okay, you want to get anything off your chest about the stadium vote?
No, because I don't know what happened. Is that bad? Was it a good vote? What happened?
Well, the vote hasn't happened yet, but Nate went through the pros and cons. And you got anything else you want to say, Nate?
Not really. No.
I did hear that Nate was at an event this past weekend with some of my buddies that are very similar to me, my humor, and they spent a lot of time around the fire talking to Nate and said, and those two guys, Nuge and Ham, had to just read you the riot act. Is that right?
They might have made a few comments about my long-winded stories, among other things.
They say the same to me, so don't feel like targeted or anything. They're the smartest people in whatever room they're in, and they do not want to hear someone else's opinion. So don't feel bad.
It was a good time. Those guys are fun. Do you want to come in for an hour and a half sometime?
Sure.
How come you never come in?
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, I got a big day ahead. I couldn't get in here today. I'm playing golf for the first time in 7 months. So
wow.
I'm either going to be broke or I don't know what I'm going to be in about 6 hours. But so I can't come in today. Sorry.
Well, let's
really important stuff.
Yeah, you know what? Let's take advantage of you on at least appearing on the phone.
Is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
So here's a
quick finger by Jake.
That's what they say. Here's a question for you. So we were talking about UConn and how dominant they've been in tournament play over the past two tournaments. Going into last night, their 6 wins last year and their first 2 wins this year. With those 8 games, the average margin of victory was 22 points, and then they won by 30 last night. You saw UConn up close, and Kansas beat them at Allen Fieldhouse. But this is a different – I mean, they looked like they did in the tournament last year. When you look at UConn, just curious what you think, how they're doing this, because, I mean, there's no use to pick it against them until someone beats them in the tournament. No one's even close right now. They win every game by double digits, and they might end up back-to-back champs. How are they not only winning like this, but just beating the hell out of everyone?
Yeah, we saw two teams this year, in my opinion, that could win the national title, and that's Houston and UConn. Even though we beat them both at home and then lost to Houston on the road, those two teams are the ones that stood out to me by far. Now, Connecticut's got the pedigree. They won it last year. They never really got challenged because they just played perfect basketball or damn near perfect basketball. They've got shooters. They've got a big guy in the middle that can clog things up and protect the rim, get those offensive rebounds when you get it to the shooters. They play at a really, really high level of energy. I mean, they kind of take on the persona of their coach. I mean, Danny Hurley could be kind of a hothead, but
their team
plays like it, though. And I don't say that in a negative way because, again, you take on that persona, and they've done that. And, you know, they lost a lot from last year, and they replaced those guys. And that's the key right now to college basketball, to continue that level of success. And until someone challenges them, I don't know any reason we wouldn't pick them to repeat. You know, last night we saw some of the top seeds fall. A one and a couple twos after all one and twos made the Sweet 16, and things started to play out a little bit. So tonight will be another interesting night of basketball to watch. But I tell you, you know, Cam Spencer, you know, it's always that, like, one guy that you get in the transfer portal. You're like, okay, this is the guy. And he's kind of been the guy, even though his numbers don't just jump out at you. But, you know, when you couple him with Tristan Newton, and, you know, clinging in the middle. And then when we played UConn, Castle was hurt. He didn't play. They're an entirely different team with him because he's an athletic freshman that's a pro. And you add that in with those other role players. You have to have role players. You got to have stars. You got to have athletes. And they've got it all.
Man, I mean, and they, man, they bust their ass too, right? Like, it's, I think that's one of the things that impresses me the most. It reminds me of some of the Bill Self teams you've seen when they've been at their best, like how you get players that good to buy in that much. That's, I don't know what your thoughts are on Hurley's ability to do that.
No, that's what I was saying. You know, Danny gets them to play really, really fast with some tempo. They make the extra pass. They get the big offensive rebound. Now, I say all that, they haven't had really big moments because they've blown everybody out. And I wouldn't say that the schedule just landed in their favor in the tournament because they were a four seed. They had to play, you know, they had to play a lot of teams that were quote unquote better than them, and they destroyed them. So the one thing I guess you look at if you had to find some sort of weakness is they haven't had a tight game. How are they going to react in a tight game? Because they've blown everybody out. I don't know if that's what you're supposed to do. But, you know, you look at North Carolina last night, and they didn't handle adversity well. I mean, they took a horrible three-point shot by a non-shooter with a minute to go in the game down one. And that is something that their fan base and their coaches is going to look at, that, like, you know, here we are in a tight game. How do you react? Even though R.J. Davis had a bad game, you want the ball in R.J. Davis' hands to penetrate and pitch or score off the bounce or pitch it out to Cormac Ryan or something. But you got a guy who's made four threes all year, take it on game point, and you lose. And that's how it works.
Greg Gurley is our guest. And, Greg, you know, we've spent plenty of time talking about the transfer portal and, you know, what's good about it and what's bad about it. But last night, you mentioned Alabama and North Carolina. Grant Nelson took that game over in the second half. And here's a kid, look, he was at North Dakota State, and he gets a chance to transfer to a high major in Alabama. And he was an absolute star last night, and he's the main reason why Alabama advanced to the Elite Eight. Those are the cool stories, right? You get a kid that, you know, works his ass off, maybe at a smaller school and won't get a chance to ever play in that spotlight, takes his opportunity, and look what he did last night.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the good and the bad of the transfer portal. It hurts at North Dakota State because they have a star, but he wants to get to the next level and he wants exposure, and he goes to a high SEC program and does it on the biggest stage. Now, the NBA guys are going to find you no matter what school you're at, but it's a lot easier when you're playing in the Sweet 16 and that's the only game everyone's watching against North Carolina. So that's the good of it. It does hurt the mid-majors and the smaller mid-majors that have great players that go on and leave because they want that exposure and they want that competition. They want to prove that they can play against the best, and you're just not getting the best in the Summit conference, and that's not a dig. It's just reality. And there's going to be some great stories, and there's going to be some guys that were on Grant Nelson's team that transferred because they think they're as good as him because they had good years because of his ability to make other guys better. And then they go, and it doesn't work like that. So there's success stories. There's horror stories. There's stories of transfers that don't even find a new home, and their college career is over because look at the portal numbers right there. I believe it's over 1,000 right now. 1,000 kids aren't going to find a home, and that means that some careers are over, and the elites are. But there's a lot of holes in this portal, but there are some really good stories as well.
There was a good amount of local interest in that late game last night with Brad Underwood coaching Illinois and then Iowa State so hot through the Big 12 tournament in the first couple of rounds, and they end up getting beat by Illinois last night. Again, any late game that took forever to finish, but what was your reaction to Iowa State losing to Illinois in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, just Iowa State's offense just kind of let them down. They lost that game in the first half when they just could not score. You know, defense was always there, but when Illinois needed a big bucket, I mean, is there a better player in the tournament right now than Terrence Shannon? I mean, he plays at such a high rate of speed and quickness and strength around the rim. He hits threes. I mean, it's he's not unguardable, but, man, he's hard to stay in front of. And they've got some pieces to mask, which every time the Kevin Harlan or whoever calls the name out, it sounds like they're saying dumbass. And now that everyone's listening and going to watch Illinois and tomorrow play, they're going to be like, yeah, he's right.
Right.
He's really good. You know, there's another example of a transfer. I believe he was at Southern Illinois, and I mean, he had a triple-double in the tournament the other day. And we saw Illinois up close when we played that exhibition game in Champaign, and they still were trying to figure things out, and they beat us. But, man, have they just gotten better month after month. Brad does a great job up there. And, you know, he's got them playing. You know, he don't play many guys, and they've got the right pieces. Trent Green's nephew is the shooter Goody, who hit a big three in the final 2 minutes. So that was cool to see for the Green family. But man, Terrence Shannon right now is playing as well as anybody in the country.
Luke Goody, I didn't realize that about him being Trent Green's nephew, huh? 6'7".
Yep.
Man.
Yep, 6'7", and he just kind of camps out and shoots when Shannon and Damask penetrate, and he made a big one last night. So shout out to Trent and Julie.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. All right, I mean, can they beat UConn? Can they give UConn a game? Can they keep it close?
Yeah, again, because like I said, they got all the pieces. You know, they don't really, like I say they got all the pieces. They don't really have a guy that can equalize Klingon at 7'2". Not many teams do. But other than that, I mean, getting out and going, you know, Caravan is another guy for UConn that's a great role player. But the matchups are going to be intriguing. Illinois plays really fast, which kind of goes against everything you think about with the Big Ten, but they're different, and I'm excited to watch that one, and I think, you know, UConn's going to be challenged. Like I said, have they had that tight game? They haven't had to make those decisions like every other team in the country has because they've taken care of business, and that's what you're supposed to do, but we'll see when they get into a tight one and who steps up and when it's not just free-flowing, no-thinking basketball. So looking forward to that matchup, just like I was really looking forward to Iowa State and Illinois matchup, and it was fun to watch, but I was rooting for the Big 12, and it just, you know, didn't happen. Our lone remaining team is Houston, which I believe Houston can get all the way to the championship game. You know, every team has a game like they had last week where it had to go to overtime, last-second shots, and foul trouble, and everything going against them. The whole world rooting for Texas A&M, and they were able to pull it out because – they might have the best player in the country. I think Jamal Shedd is probably the best. Zach Edey's going to win the Player of the Year, but I don't know. he means everything to Purdue, but I don't know if there's a more important player than Jamal Shedd with the Houston Cougars.
So speaking of Zach Edey, we're going to see him against Gonzaga. You saw Gonzaga in the second round. I mean, Purdue, most people, just because of their history, I think are a little bit leery about picking them, even though I did pick them to go to the national championship game. But they've looked the part in the first two rounds. You saw Gonzaga up close. Can Gonzaga hang with Purdue if Purdue's playing their A game?
For sure, because I'm not that scared of Purdue. I would have liked that matchup if we could have beat Gonzaga. I just don't know if they have athletic enough guards or consistent guard play that can make shots. I mean, that's the tournament. That's what you watch day in and day out, is guards making shots. You know, we watched Creighton do it the other night. They have creative scorers that can score off the bounce and off the, you know, just everywhere, really, to the basket, behind the line. And I don't see the Purdue guards doing that. Now, obviously could be proven wrong, but that's going to be a matchup really tonight. And Gonzaga doesn't necessarily have that either. They just made shots against us at an incredible, incredible rate in that second half, mainly because they're veteran teams. Nembhard does a great job of breaking defenses down. He didn't really beat you scoring the ball, but I think against us he ended up with 10 assists, ended up with 4 or 5 turnovers, but at one point it was 10 assists, 1 turnover, and he just controlled the game with 2 points. And I think he can do that tonight as well, because he's such a good facilitator. He gets other guys involved. And it wasn't one guy that beat us on Saturday. It was that entire team that just made shots whenever they were open. And I contend that, you know, we almost lost that game in the first half, as crazy as that sounds. We were up 1 at half and couldn't have played much better offensively, but our defense really failed us. And Gonzaga just got easy bucket after easy bucket when we were laboring to score, but we scored. And then in the second half, they continued to score and we didn't. And, you know, they just got an older team that's consistent with good point guard play, and I definitely think they can knock Purdue off.
This Creighton-Tennessee game should be great, right? What do you think of that matchup?
Tennessee really hangs its hat on defense. Creighton really hangs its hat on offense, so something's going to give. Dalton Knecht is another great transfer portal story. I mean, he was a 4-man at Northern Colorado that people looked at like, okay, let's take him. We like him. And he's turned into a lottery pick 2-guard. And if Dalton Knecht can get going in an offensive game and Tennessee's defense stands up, yeah, I'd take the Volunteers. But it's hard to pick against McDermott and what he's got going. He's got 3 or 4 guys that can really score. And like Connecticut, they have a backstop with Kalkbrenner where he could be in the middle and clean up mistakes when the guards gamble or get beat. And having that security blanket lets you play a little more free-flowing defense. And then on offense, they're very dynamic, more dynamic than Tennessee. And McDermott puts them in positions, you know, a lot of ball screens, a lot of penetrating pitch, just like all of college basketball. It's not rare for them, but they just do it at such an efficient rate. And that Oregon-Creighton game was a classic, just a classic offensive game. Not a lot of defense being played. We were very fortunate 2 years ago when we played Creighton and Kalkbrenner got hurt like in the final minute of the game before us, before they played us. And not having him in the middle made things a lot easier for us to get that win in the round of 32 just 2 years ago. But, man, I believe he was the Big East Defensive Player of the Year back-to-back years, and I think he's the difference maker in a game like this.
Greg Gurley is our guest. All right, Greg, we've mentioned the transfer portal several times, and I'm sure Kansas will be active. I'm not asking for any names because, like you said, there's 1,000 of them out there to try to sift through. But in your opinion, when we talk about the wish list for transfer portal ads, what kind of player, if you could describe the type of player or players you think would be tops on the priority list for Kansas to add to the transfer portal, what are they looking at?
you know, it depends on numbers, but let's just say for argument's sake that we need four or five guys. So you need a point guard, backup point guard that can score. You need a couple of athletic wings that can score. I'm going to say score every time I describe someone, by the way. So a backup point guard that can score. A couple of athletic wings, you know, six, seven guys that, you know, an Ochai, obviously, you know, Christian Brown, a Jalen Wilson, those would be, you know, our big-time wish list that who knows if you can get them. And then we need a backup for Hunter. He cannot play, if Hunter comes back, that is, he can't play 32 to 38 minutes in those games, especially in November and December, because he needs some help off the bench. We need a rim runner. We need an athlete that can defensively come in and spark us. So scoring guards and a backup or two underneath for KJ and Hunter.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious your thoughts on this, Greg, because I've been thinking about this a lot. And when you listed off the type of wings they could use, Ochai, Brown, Wilson, those are guys that to me are like the biggest success stories that I can think of in the Bill Self era, guys that were not five-star necessarily, you know, lottery pick type guys when they came in, but developed for years under Self and then became great players, you know, by the end of their college career. And I'm just kind of curious, is that still going to be a thing, you know, when everybody's hitting the transfer portal the way that it is these days? Are we still going to get to see players like that at Kansas, or is this just a completely different era now?
Well, it's a great question, and that's the rub on the portal is that, you know, you take it through the time frame where right now our coaches are either on the road or doing Zoom calls with a multitude of guys. And you got to kind of feel them out, watch their film, make sure that, you know, in your conversations you like what they say. It's an interview. And then you make a decision to go watch them play somewhere, wherever they are, and then you decide if they're going to come to your campus. And then when they come to the campus, you got a day or two to really, you know, feel them out and make sure that they're a right fit. And then this whole process could be done in a week. I mean, we've already seen Gonzaga, who's playing in the tournament, get a commitment from a transfer portal guy while they're trying to win a Sweet 16 game. We've already seen Iowa State do the same. So for Kansas losing the way we did, the only positive really is that we're able to now get out there and get a head start on the others. Can you find a Christian, Jalen, whatever? That's the question. And then will there be Jalen, Christian, and Ochai that stick around for 3 and 4 years? That's even a better question. Who knows? I was talking about that with someone yesterday, like that played around the time I did. Like, what would you have done if you weren't playing at your school? Would you have left? I don't know. That's a good question. You know, we're encouraging quitting, and we're encouraging when things don't go bad, leave. When the coach doesn't play you, it's not your fault. It's the coach's fault, right? And your parents are telling you he doesn't know what he's doing. You're a freshman. You were really good at Shawnee Mission South, and you should be playing 25 minutes a game. Well, he doesn't know what he's doing. Let's go somewhere where someone appreciates us. So we're encouraging our children to just say, yeah, he's wrong, I'm right, let's go. You make big boy decisions, you got to deal with the consequences. You could make a decision and not play at your new school either. I mean, I'll argue all day long with, you know, you look at our guys from last year that transferred, but a lot of them, the grass isn't always green. And there's a lot of, like I said before, there's a lot of positives. The Grant Nelsons, the Remy Martins of the world, but there's also a lot of negatives. Doesn't matter if there's a little bit of both because it's all going to play out. And, you know, some teams are going to get lucky and get the right guys, and some aren't. And some are going to be sitting there in the transfer portal early, and some aren't. You know, that's it's an inexact science. with the rules changing every day, and I don't have a great answer other than just my opinions.
All right, final question then. UConn or the field?
Field.
Jake? That woke Jake up. Jake, would you take that bet right now? What would you say? UConn or the field?
I like Gurley's side. I would take the field.
Well, I mean, that's just an intelligent way to react. I mean, you got 12 teams left. You have 12 teams left, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you take one or 11? It's a numbers game.
Well, I mean, normally I would take 11, but UConn beats the hell out of everyone, so I feel like maybe in a couple of weeks I'll be dumb for even debating not taking UConn.
It's like the great philosopher Mike DeMone said in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It's a numbers game.
That's right. That's exactly right. Oh, Greg Gurley. Nate honestly wants you to come in for an hour and a half sometime when your schedule allows, so please make that happen with Jake, would you?
I'm in. I'd love to.
I extended the invite
of that hour
today.
And a half. What percentage of that hour and a half would be Nate questions compared to my answers? Would it be like
85%? Yeah, 85%.
Yeah, it's a good ratio.
You know, or just stories.
Right. I can tell you some long stories.
Yeah, he's got a few things he wants to get off his chest.
Just take me through the soccer match, play by play.
he would absolutely love to.
Now
be
that
good.
You asked.
All right,
I'll be like, Nate, explain to me why the clock doesn't stop. Why they add this weird time at the end. For the dumb American, that just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, he wants to tell you right now, too. That's hypothetical.
Well, what are you going to
say that?
Yeah.
He's going to craft an answer for next week that will be a marathon.
That's exactly right. AI Nate over here is going to come up with something good for you. All right, Greg, we'll wait for you to come in the studio. Until then,
all right.
Enjoy your life.
Have a good round of golf, buddy.
There you go.
Hey, oh, yeah, that's what I'll do. For my hour and a half, I'll go shot by shot next week. I'm sure the public will love that.
We'd love it.
Absolutely.
All right, Greg, talk to you soon.
See you.
That's Greg Gurley. Yeah, I mean, normally, sure, take the field when there's 12 teams, but I don't know. What kind of odds would you give me on this? Let's hash this out then.
Parse it out.
What do you want? What do you give me? Entice me. Entice me to take UConn. Come on. I'm feeling a little bit froggy. Maybe I'll jump.
I don't know. Well, let's see what Vegas, what their odds are right now.
Vegas doesn't know.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll let you figure things out. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Let's hear some postgame from the Royals' opening day loss to the Minnesota Twins. One of the bright spots, Cole Ragans. He pitched like an ace. Didn't get enough support, though. Didn't get really any support except a solo home run from Michael Garcia in the first inning. That was it for the Royals when it came to scoring. But Cole Ragans, 6 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 3 walks, 9 strikeouts, 97 pitches to get through his 6 innings. Here is Cole Ragans after the game.
A couple mistakes they made me pay. First inning, Lewis, you know, just left it over the plate, made me pay. But overall, you know, me and Sal got on the same page. He was incredible back there. Defense was incredible. It was, you know, I thought it was good.
How do you attack someone like Chris Lewis when he does hit as many homers as he does?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all game plan for each guy. I mean, I'm sure they're doing the same. So it's just kind of, you know, trying to find what works best and just get ahead. It's the biggest thing, just get ahead.
How'd you feel about your slider out there tonight?
I felt good about it. I thought I got some good swing and miss on it. I felt like I located it well for the most part. But, yeah, overall felt good about it.
Overall, the atmosphere of opening day, how long did it take you to settle in and just treat it like a regular game?
Yeah, no, I mean, I got out there probably 10 minutes before I needed to start getting ready and just kind of, you know, looked around, looked at all the people, kind of just get a sense of calmness, that kind of thing.
You had Royals record 9 strikeouts on opening day. I know you want the win, but with the strikeouts, what was working more for you on that? Was it more fastball, more slider?
I thought we had a pretty good mix with everything. Like I said, Salvi did great back there. I thought from pitch one, we had a really good mix, and so it was just trying to keep guys off balance.
And that you guys came back and scored in the bottom of the first, it helps your confidence too, right? When you give up one, you pop one right back on them.
100%. I mean, those guys, it's definitely gives you a boost of confidence. We just gotta keep it going.
You had a lot of excitement and nerves leading up to this. I mean, besides the result, did it live up to what you were thinking it would be?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, opening day is a special day, I think, for everyone. But like I've said all throughout spring, our ultimate goal is to win. That's the biggest thing.
I know it's you get tomorrow off, but Saturday you're right back here. How do you move off of this quickly?
Just got to move on, It's game one of 162 or whatever it is. So, I mean, you just got to move on. There's a lot of baseball left. So, move on, flush it, forget it.
Move on, flush it, forget it. That's describes me after lunch every day. After the show.
Yep. That's right.
I don't know. There's some people that have not been flushing around here, so. When I find out who it is, I will publicly shame them on the show.
Also, some people that decide to wad like an entire roll of toilet paper into the toilet and then not flush.
Chicken who squawks first laid the egg.
What?
What are you laughing for in there?
Some people peeing without lifting the toilet seat up.
And some person got publicly scolded yesterday, didn't they? Didn't they?
That's why I'm laughing.
I don't know about this. I don't know this story.
Oh, I know about it.
Somebody was peeing on the seat.
Somebody was at the urinal. No, then there is no both sides. Somebody went in the stall to pee and didn't lift up the seat.
Let the seat down.
There's all over. There's splash activity. There's all kind. Lift the seat. And I got after him.
Admonished him.
I feel like I'm a dad around here. And he's,
Do we name a name? Not naming names?
No, we're not naming names.
We don't need to call people.
What do you mean you see both sides?
Hey, look,
there's only one side to see. People got to sit on that thing.
If you got good aim, then you don't pee on the
seat. It doesn't matter. Splash activity.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
There's one way for sure to not ruin someone else's bathroom experience. Lift the seat up.
I'm on team lift seat.
Clean the seat. There were other things that were on the seat the other day that I saw. I'm going to sit everyone down, and we're going to go through bathroom etiquette because it is not being practiced.
Can you come teach the kids in my house bathroom etiquette?
I don't even know.
They don't flush the toilet because they're used to automatic flushing toilets at school.
I'm a downstairs guy anyway. So.
You loved it too. Me, I walked in there.
It's entertaining.
Laughing.
I like the fact that you chastise these people.
Well, that's all of us.
Yeah.
We have to live together.
Yeah, it's like the people that fill up their ice cup and then don't refill the tray. They just put an empty tray back into the freezer.
Well,
what kind of animal does that?
When I got people like you that'll fill it up, why should I?
You shouldn't be using those anyways, that tap water garbage. Enjoy that fluoride.
I do.
You got to get some extra minerals in it.
Lowers your IQ.
Well, there you go. Welcome back to the show. Let's hear from Michael Garcia, who hit a home run. Here we go. One run in the first. How many are they going to score today? One. Here's Michael Garcia after the game.
Take a seat, home run.
Can I get a lens in here, guys?
It just feels so good. And my first opening day, it's a big home run. I think I enjoy with the fans and happy for that, but we can get the win.
What did you see on the pitch that you hit out in the first inning? Take us through that.
I think he threw me a sweep, but he missed the pitch, and I took the opportunity to hit a homer, and thank God for that.
Okay, what was the excitement level as you stepped up to the plate as the first batter of the season?
Amazing. That's a dream, and I remember when I was young and watched that on TV, and now I'm part of this, so just enjoy this day.
How close were you to getting a couple more across the board there? You guys came up, you had a couple guys on base there, unable to get him across, though.
I think Lopez did an excellent job. We can get the nice at bat today, but we come Saturday and get a better game and try to get the wins.
What was it like for you? Did you get caught up in the opening day feels and all the fanfare and everything?
I feel like I'm at home, you know. I love the fans here. They give me the love and just happy for be here with this team and part of this organization.
Okay, what does Pablo Lopez do that makes him so challenging?
He was the first AB, he threw me a sweeper, and after homer, he just threw me a fastball. But I think I did a good swing, but the balls can get down, so just he did a good job. So
that was Michael Garcia. You want to hear another one or you want to break? What do you want to do? What do you want to do about it? Let's break.
Fine.
What do you want? You got something to say?
Nope.
Hey, it's an open forum. What do you want?
I like Michael Garcia.
Yeah, sure you do.
Very much.
Break out. Let's go. We'll be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810. WHB, thank you so much for joining us. Play a couple of clips from post-game last night from the Sweet 16 games. UConn beats everyone by a lot. They beat San Diego State by 30 last night. Dan Hurley's always angry, but he should be happy because he's the head coach of the most dominant team in college basketball right now. Here, he talks about his team blowing everyone out in the NCAA tournament.
I mean, we suck at winning close games, so you got to go with the alternative. No, I think the group, we got a killer instinct. We play every possession with great desperation. We got NBA-level players that are incredibly well-prepared. And, you know, obviously, we're very comfortable in tournament play. We're hard to prepare for.
Brad Underwood, the head coach at Illinois, they ended Iowa State's season. Brad Underwood says that's what you expect from a Sweet 16 game.
Well, I thought that was what a Sweet 16 game would look like. It was pretty much what I expected. When you face the number one defense, you know they're not number one because they're soft or lack effort.
Well, let's hear Nate Oates, Alabama head coach, who avoided pushing any opposing players last night. But he did guide his team to a Sweet 16 victory over North Carolina. And so here, Nate Oates tells us how it feels to be going to the Elite Eight.
We got one game away, and it's a really good. It's not easy. I told these guys at halftime, it's not easy to win these games to get to an Elite Eight. There's only been one ever in Alabama. They've had all kinds of pros and all kinds of really good teams. I mean, you know, Clemson's good. They some of their guys killed us. So we got to get a better game plan. I thought we had it. I thought the coaching staff, the assistants, our analytics crew did an unbelievable job getting us ready for this game against Carolina. I thought we had spot on game plan. We got to do the same thing for Clemson. We won't be getting a lot of sleep tonight.
Speaking of Clemson, their head coach, who always seems to be on the hot seat, Brad Brownell, he talks about his team after they upset Arizona last night.
You know, if we go back a couple of weeks, Brad, you lost your last two games before the NCAA tournament, including a 21-point loss to BC in the ACC tournament. But now you've won three in a row, and you're one win away from the first Final Four in program history. Yeah. What's been the key to this resurgence over these last 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think we've been better defensively in the tournament. We did not play well at all in the ACC tournament and, you know, got punched in the mouth and just weren't ready for it. You know, I think it was good for us in a lot of ways because we went right back to work. We practiced twice on Saturday of the ACC tournament, once on Sunday, and then obviously had our selection show So I just think it got our guys' attention. It was a humble reminder that we got to play at a really high level if we want to win. And then, you know, our guys knew we were picked to be upset in the first round, picked against us in the second round, all those things. You know, and it just motivates you a little bit. We've got a group that's trying to prove that Clemson basketball is special. You know, we're super excited about the win today.
So now, on Saturday, after those two games, or after those four games last night, leaves us with two games. Illinois against UConn in the East, Clemson and Alabama in the West. And so it'll be Illinois or UConn advancing to the Final Four, Clemson or Alabama advancing to the Final Four. Tonight, a very interesting slate of games. 6:09 tip-off for the first game, the 11-seed North Carolina State and the 2-seed Marquette in the South. Then the Midwest will feature the 5-seed Gonzaga and the 1-seed Purdue. Those are both the early games. The late games, back to the South, Duke and Houston. And then the final game to tip tonight in the Midwest, and I think the best game of the night, will be Creighton and Tennessee. I'll root for NC State. Creighton, Houston. I want Gonzaga to win, but I want my bracket to be right. So if Purdue wins, I'm happy because I have them going to the final game, the championship game. But if Gonzaga wins, then I'll be happy because I like Gonzaga and I like to see them win. So there it is, your update for the NCAA tournament, huh? March Madness, what about that, huh? Fantastic.
Go Zags.
By the way, Marquette favored by 6.5. Purdue favored by 5.5. Houston favored by 4.5. Tennessee favored by 3.5. Creighton sounds good. Getting 3.5. Creighton sounds good. Give me 3.5. Back after this on WHB.